In the name of God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, grace, peace, and mercy be multiplied unto you. Amen.
Amen.
Our text for tonight is the Old Testament reading with the addition of the last verse in that chapter, 1 Kings 8. On the eighth day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went to their homes joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had shown to David his servant and to Israel his people. This is the text. Dear people of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, the second commandment teaches Christians about God's name, not to misuse it, but to use it properly, as the explanation to the second commandment teaches. Call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Well, that certainly applies to those gathered here tonight. You have come here to pray, praise, and give thanks to Almighty God for the Spirit-inspired generosity that not only reduced the debt on this building, but wiped it out and made this congregation at this moment in time debt-free. And to praise God for this, give thanks for that and all the blessings God has provided. In the Bible, God shines light on many significant events of like kind, events that bring forth prayer, songs of praise, and the giving of thanks. Think about the parting of the Red Sea so Israel could cross on dry land, the crashing waves then destroying the pursuing Egyptians totally. Moses and all Israel sang to the Lord in Exodus 15 the song of praise and God's victory. Tonight, in a few minutes, we will sing Mary's song, the Magnificat, her song to God after the Annunciation and her visit to Elizabeth. And when Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days after his resurrection, Luke wrote in the book of Acts that there is great joy, continual blessing of God in the temple. You see, when God does something and acts, people can't help but rejoice and worship him. Such it was at the time King Solomon, as he stood in front of Israel. His father had wanted to build a beautiful, majestic house for the Lord. His desire to do so was honored by the Heavenly Father. David donated gold, silver, precious materials to build that temple. He even gave of his personal riches, and so did all the people of Israel at the time. Yet you may remember he was not permitted to build the temple, being a king of war, one who had spent his reign destroying the enemies of God as commanded, one who had gathered much of the kingdom wealth from others. The actual building was to be left to David's son, Solomon. And you heard minutes ago a portion of the record about that building. King Solomon took 7 years to build the beautiful temple of gold and silver, precious stones and lumber, where the tabernacle would reside. All of Israel would gather to worship and sing and pray to God, praise his holy name, and to receive from God his promises, his blessings, and gifts. 1 Kings chapter 8 details the dedication of that beautiful temple. The Ark of the Covenant, which had resided in tents, was brought into the Holy of Holies. It was taken into the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim there. Huge numbers of sacrifices were made of sheep and oxen. A cloud of the Lord's presence and glory filled the house. Solomon blesses the Lord, reiterates all the promises God fulfilled to his people up to that time. And then Solomon spreads out his hands to the heavens and prays, "O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants." Then Solomon reminds all people how this all happened. "You spoke with your mouth, and with your hand fulfilled it this day. God did it from beginning to end. God gave the go-ahead to David to gather all the materials. God provided a peaceful time for building the temple itself and its dedication. Solomon prays that God would be present with his voice in this place to forgive the sinner, to bring reconciliation among members, to bless the land with rain, to heal the sick, to reach the foreigner, to turn their hearts back to God when they rebel and forsake him. You can read all the details in the first 50 verses of 1 Kings 8 yourself sometime. What a prayer. What confidence in God to bless and show mercy. And then Solomon blesses the Lord and blesses the people. He beseeches God to continue inclining their hearts to the Lord, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments. And as the chapter closes, Solomon and Israel offer sacrifices unto God. They hold a feast and celebrate the Lord's blessings for 8 days. And the fulfillment of all of his promises with songs and praises. And then we are told in the close of that chapter, verse 66, they went to their homes joyful and glad of heart for the goodness that the Lord had shown. As you think about it, it's wonderful guidance for all gathered here tonight. The Lord has provided a cause for celebration, for thanksgiving, for praises, for feasting, if you will. We may think the main event is the mortgage burning, that it alone is the cause for thanksgiving and celebration. We may even want to pat our own backs a little and preen a little for what has been accomplished. However, besides being sinful, that thinking misses the main point, doesn't it? You see, it is wonderful. The mortgage is paid off. It's not a burden any longer. It is good that the interest payments will be ended, saving the congregation actually thousands of dollars in interest. And this does free up dollars for other mission work and outreach and service. And yes, the temptation is to relax and give a sigh of relief. You may remember that that temple in Jerusalem took 7 years to build, Scripture tells us. And it happened 480 years after the people of Israel left Egypt. For all those years, God was present for Israel in a flimsy tent. Just think of that. 12 generations passed before there was a temple for the Lord that was built. Can you imagine the patience and persistence it took? Now, it did not take 12 generations for this building to be built, did it? Or 7 years to build the church itself? By my reckoning, it was 579 days. Many people labored. Many people gave generously. There was persistence and there was cheerfulness in that giving for the Lord's house. And yes, it did take patience and persistence to build it and pay it off. We may not remember, but it was in the late 50s that the Southern Nebraska District decided that they were going to start a congregation in Cheyenne. Little did they know that they were at the end of Del Range, which was nothing more than a cow path, and they had to build a road out here, actually. They did build the first building, but it was a fellowship hall as a first structure. They called a mission developer, a pastor to gather people, and in the early 60s, the congregation formed and gathered for a first worship service. At that first dedication service, over 300 attended to praise God and celebrate his blessings to them. It was at the end of the night, it was at the end of the 90s, one mere generation later, that discussions took place about building a dedicated church area and converting the fellowship area to its original purpose. And the purpose of building a new building for the congregation was to glorify God and to reach more people with God's word and sacraments. Plans were drawn up, initial funds were gathered for several years, and early in June 2006, ground was broken and construction began. Just as skilled craftsmen built the temple long ago for Solomon, the contractor built carefully and skillfully this building. Laborers for Christ came to dedicate their efforts to complete it, and many of you personally spent hours upon hours helping get it finished and detailed. Craftsmen even took those stained glass windows that you see up there, which were mounted horizontally in the old fellowship hall, and they carefully turned one quarter turn, the part in the center, so that they could be mounted here in this worship area for all to see. And now they stand before you vertically. Truly, all of this is a labor of love, as was the building the temple for Solomon. Today, after 17 years of generous giving, the mortgage is to be burned. Generous giving that is motivated by the Lord God, who promises to bless. It's perhaps best described by the epistle reading we have here tonight. Your generosity will produce thanksgiving unto God, will increase your harvest of righteousness. We thank God for this generosity of giving and reducing the debt and paying it off before it is totally due. Yet the true joy and gladness of heart are found in much more, for this place is where God provides his voice to continue blessing you. This house is the place where God speaks his word for you. This place is where God still fulfills his promises to you in word and sacrament. It is the Lord God who provides pastors to teach and preach, to confront sin, to comfort in distress, not with the empty speculations and vainglory of mankind, but with the solid rock of ages, Jesus, the sure foundation of faith. It is he who paid for your sin and washed you clean in his blood. It is he who obeyed the Father perfectly and now credits you with his righteousness. This gospel you hear, you believe, and you are saved. This is the true joy and gladness of heart that God provides you here continuously. Just as God comforted Solomon after that dedication of the temple, I have heard your prayer and plea, which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house that you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and heart will be there for all time. Excuse me for a moment. In this place, at this pulpit, that is the assurance that you have from God. God has consecrated this house by putting his name here. His word in its truth and purity shall be proclaimed to you. Forgiving your sins in the name and for the sake of Jesus, nurturing your faith through the Holy Spirit who continues to strengthen you, provides you with the sure and certain promise of life everlasting in heaven in the name of Jesus, his Son. Through the pure word, the name of God is present for you here. That's why you go forth with joy at the Lord's forgiveness of sins for you. You are strengthened to praise and thank God for all his gifts. You are glad of heart for this special occasion here tonight. You are given a spirit which seeks to live according to his word. The hymn that we sang at the beginning of the service, Praise to God. To this temple where we call you, come, O Lord of hosts, and stay. Come with all your loving kindness. Hear your people as they pray, and your fullest benediction shed within these walls. You may rest assured that God hears those words and speaks words the same as he spoke to Solomon long ago. I have heard your prayer and plea, which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house that you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And so as we go tonight to celebrate, we may not have a feast of 8 days, but we'll have a wonderful feast, I'm sure. We pray, Almighty God, you have placed your name here and upon us in the waters of baptism. Help us call upon your name in every trouble, pray praise and give thanks. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.